Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What up, bitches? We back. Welcome back to the bar. Come take a seat at the bar. I'm Nisha.
And I'm Tempe.
And we are super excited to talk about today's topic. Well, okay, we're doing something different. So we're introducing some new segments. But the overall topic of today is going to be the first and what we hope to be a series. What is the bar for Black excellence? Today is, drum roll, Beyonce edition.
Woohoo, yes.
I've been looking forward to this topic. So yes, welcome back. And yeah.
Okay, so we are going to first jump into something that we're calling our media moment every week, where we're going to discuss either a television series or movie that we are enjoying and we want to debrief together as well as with you all. And this week is going to be a lovely Bravo show that we hold dear to us, which is Summer House. And we're debriefing the season premiere of Summer House. And if you have not watched, you should fast forward about 10 to 15 minutes of this conversation and then return back to listen once you've watched, because it's a good one. It's a good one. And just a little bit of background. This comes after Carl and Lindsay had their duel at the reunion about them calling off their marriage and wedding, and then also Sierra and Wes beefing from them breaking up or whatever. You well, we'll get there.
They weren't even together, but okay.
As well as, this is hot off of the new breakup, which is Paige and Craig, who is not on Summer House but has made appearances on Summer House because he's a thirsty little hoe. But he is initially on a separate show called Southern Charm. And that's a little recap. There's some other flavors in the show, but one thing I will say that I am really thankful for in this new season is that we do not have to suffer through a season of Danielle anymore. Mm-hmm. She may make some appearances, but we are just so thankful and so grateful for the opportunity to not have to deal with Danielle for a full summer as a full-time cast member.
Although Gabby is working really hard to fill her role. She's as annoying as her, though, I will say. Very annoying.
Danielle was really annoying because she was so self-righteous.
She was so self-righteous, girl. She was just, I'm glad she's gone. Truly, I like not missed at all. She added nothing.
She did add, as a woman running a business.
Oh. Girl, the Bravo girls in these businesses, like, that we never see, like, where is this business, girl?
Where? Like Paige said, what business? What business? But fast forward back into the current season. I would like to start off with the topic that means the most to me. As we are Black women, I just want to just say something that's going to be very controversial, but I am done having Sierra's Black ass back, because Sierra has embarrassed herself time and time again. She has embarrassed herself on more than one show, not just Summer House, Winter House, now Traitors. If you don't watch Traitors, she brought her ass on there and she's doing the same stupid shit there. She's embarrassed herself time and time again, and I'm tired. I no longer can have her back.
I really tried to root for Sierra. I actually started watching Summer House the season she came on, and she has consistently showed me that she is not a fun girl. She's not fun. She don't know how to have fun. She don't like to have fun. And it seems like, especially after seeing how she chases after these men, her number one priority being on Bravo is to cape for men and to have male validation.
White men.
Specifically white men. Somebody had actually left a comment that was like, I was love to see Sierra. They need to bring some black men for Sierra. And grab a whole bag. I said, do you really think she does anything about what she has done in the years she's been on TV show you she is interested in a black man at all?
Absolutely not. There hasn't been one time in which she has shown any interest in a black man or a man of any color except for white.
Oh.
And I ditto exactly what you're saying. I started watching the same season, and just to give a little recap of the bullshit that she's done, she came in with a white man who wasn't her boyfriend, who caused her immense confusion and difficulty in transitioning into the summer house. And she not only was acting stupid for herself, but then also was semi befriending a very strange and dirty woman named Hannah, who has thankfully also left the show. And if you're a fan of the Giggly Squad, I am only a fan of Paige. And so if you're a fan of Hannah, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't like her. She's dirty. She looked like
Baby.
she doesn't wash her hair. That's a sign to me of dirty. But anyway, not only does she cape seemingly for white men, she also be caping for these white women that don't seem to really hold her at the same level that she holds them. And that fast forwards us to even now with her relationship with Gabby, who is another black woman that's come on the show. And they are the only black women on the show. And she seems uninterested in befriending Gabby. And it seems as if it's racially based.
So we've actually talked about this in the past, and I still feel like our initial assessment was more correct because don't forget she was besties with Maya, and they did have a, podcast, whatever. I don't know what happened to that. They both were boring. I really think the Gabby thing is a class thing. I think Gabby
Yes.
is a wealthy black woman. She is very secure, and she coming from money. Her parents clearly come from money, have money, and are married, and as Sierra said in last week's episode, she's stumbled over her parents' divorce from 20 years ago. So is giving so many things, insecurities I feel like Gabby brings out in Sierra, and she has chosen to not befriend her because I've never seen them have a one-on-one conversation on or like one-on-one hangout or anything on this show ever.
I agree. And the thing I will add is that I think the only reason why she befriended Maya was because when Maya joined, it was at the height of the pandemic, George Floyd. Maya was very vulnerable and transparent about her experience coming into Summer House as a black woman. And that was the first time that we heard Sierra speak about her race. And it seemed
Hey, I'm
as
black too.
exactly that's what it felt like. Oh my God, I can't forget. I'm
Danielle,
black
I'm
too.
Latina. I was the first person to call out. Are you? Never knew. Literally never knew. I suspected you was something. You was a little brown skin, but.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing. You never brought this up before. Now you're seemingly, in my opinion, riding Maya's coattails as a black woman that's not comfortable in herself as a black woman. Now, I think also their podcast didn't work out because I think that Maya and her just never meshed. I think that Sierra just like found that it made sense and was important for her to befriend Maya because of the racial topics that were brought up, as well as the fact that Maya and her are both boring and both seemingly not interested in having fun. So, to
Yeah.
your point, fast forward to this season, Gabby looks banging bomb, ready to enjoy herself,
Amazing.
bomb body, bomb hair,
Yes.
bomb skin.
So glad she got the hair together.
The hair is the
Glad she got her hair together, girl. I
it,
was
it
upset.
it was very important that she got her hair
And
together.
her skin. Yeah, her skin too. You're so right. I didn't peep that.
She
Yes.
looks fresh, like her skincare game has been upped.
That's how you do reality. Like, you don't come on a season and not to get us off topic, like Mia from Potomac Housewives, and then you keep coming back with your skin looking the same, your teeth looking the same, your filler looking the same, bad, bad, bad. You're supposed to glow up. And Gabby, she did her big one. I love that for her.
She sure did. Mia's trash. So only trash looks like trash in all ways. But to current state of Sierra and her shenanigans, I will say this. You and this man who you now have gotten the clarity was beneath you. All of a sudden, he's beneath you. we're not in an actual relationship. And whatever that situation was at the time of recording this season premiere was 7 months ago. And you came on to the show still mad about it. And you want to blame it on some New York Times article, which in reality, who gives a shit about? But
Thing.
yours, go ahead.
The issue here is that she thinks because she has feelings and butterflies, these men have feelings and butterflies, and men don't really get feelings and butterflies. They want to fuck. And so they really get to know you
Bingo.
and really care. And it's like someone hasn't told her that somewhere. And I think because she thinks she's white. And we know white people do typically jump into relationships really quickly. And it's not happening for her. And she's confused. And it's like, maybe you should try something different. Maybe you should try a different type of guy.
Bingo. Bingo. And I think to that
It's hard to watch.
point,
Hard to watch.
it's so hard to watch and it's like not enjoyable. It's not even funny to laugh at. It's like you are a poor representation for us and it's exhausting watching. But to highlight what you're saying, I think the other part she has to realize is white men don't prefer you. Maybe a small population of them, but not the majority. So you have to get out the delusion that every white man that you come across is going to think that you are this drop dead gorgeous, funny, amazing woman that they're going to want to risk it all for, whether that is their future, considering that they would have to deal with the backlash of being in an interracial relationship, or the idea that they're not ready to commit, but they are going to set aside all their non-committal feelings and thoughts to just like be with you. Like, it's just wake up, wake up.
Said a word because I've begun to dabble in specific types of white men in my research because I like to research things. I found this journal article where it was like they did a survey of all these white men. They showed them pictures of different types of women, and like to your literally to your point, there was a small subset out like of the 100. I'm gonna say maybe like 13, maybe even like 8 that preferred black women over white. This is out of 100. And the ones that didn't prefer black women, they were asking like, what is it that you or no, what is it that you, yeah, why is it that you don't like black women or whatever? And like, very sort of slow. Their butts are too big, their lips are too big, their hair is too curly. So like our black features, they don't like. And a very small subset was like, oh, I really like those things. Like I like a juicy booty. I like, full lips. I like a, what a kinky coily hair, whatever. They didn't use that word. I don't know whatever they use, afro maybe. But though to your point, it's like you do kind of have to, when it comes to attraction, you kind of have to. Because men are ugly to me. I think men are much more beautiful than men are. So it's like if you're attracted to these men based on looks, that's weird because neither one of the men she dated were attractive. If it was based on the personality, they weren't that cool. So it's like, what exactly is attracting you to them so much where you're putting down their obvious lack of attraction to your overall, like beyond your physical, like you and your personality, where this man said, like, you are not my person. And I realized that. And you are still caping for him because you didn't see episode 2, girl. Episode 2 gonna piss you off. And I want to tell you because I said, oh, this girl's really tripping. She needs help. She needs help. It's along the lines of what she alluded to in the first episode where she was when they asked her, like, was she open to giving her another chance? And she wouldn't answer. And it was like, you got some deep issues, Sierra, truly. And you need to
Yeah,
unpack that therapy, truly.
absolutely. And I can't wait to watch episode 2 because I saw a sneak peek of their conversation. And she just, like you said, looks so unable to process and interpret the words that are being said to her. And to highlight what you just said, I think that's why I cannot support her anymore because she does this time and time again. She watches herself on TV time and time again, cape for white men and consistently not win when she's doing so and she's not learning from it. And to add to your point, these men have looked her in her face and said exactly what they feel in
No.
more ways than one. And she still walks away interpreting something completely different. And she has the backing of all these, quite frankly, ignorant,
Right, women.
naive white women telling her that because she's beautiful and she's smart and she's this, that she's needs to just stand up. And it's like, are you all also dumb and not listening? Like, literally, Austin sat across from her in Winterhouse and was like, I don't want what you want. And she still ran after that man and started a whole beef with a castmate off of the strength of it, and then became in a literal fight with Demon Danielle. And I don't like Demon Danielle, but she threw a damn glass at Danielle off of the strength of a man that looked you in your face and said he don't want you.
Well, embarrassing. She got to stop. She must be stopped. And let us not forget, it seems that she's about to be in round three of this with Jesse. I need somebody to have a sit down with her because she's not getting it. Someone's not speaking to her. She, the peanut gallery, is telling her she's right and she needs no.
I mean, but when your
No.
peanut gallery is Amanda, who is married to a man who clearly
That
does
she
not fulfill her,
hates him.
she hates him. She literally hates him. She talks about him poorly to his face and to others. She complains all the time about everything. So he doesn't fulfill you. And you still, even while engaged, leading up to your wedding, he wasn't fulfilling you. And you still chose to still marry him. And then also, Paige, fast forward to the season teaser where we're going to learn that Paige stayed with Craig and lied to everyone in the media about what Craig has done, literally admits to lying about his faithfulness, allowed people to talk about her alleged unfaithfulness when it wasn't true, while they were together and after. And on top of that, you lied about his behavior at Amanda and Kyle's wedding because you keep protecting him. You have his back all these times. So when your peanut gallery are two women who sit on top of pedestals and think that their shit don't stink, but they over here protect men that prove time and time again that they are not worthy of being in their space, it all
Absolutely.
makes sense. It
It
all makes
all
sense.
makes sense. Legit, girl. You just said a word. You just said a word. Well, there's so much more we could say here, but we have to get on to the topic at hand. So if y'all haven't watched Southern Charm, if y'all haven't watched Summer House, you should be watching it because it's so much. I mean, we literally just, like, touched the surface, but there'll be more to talk about because the season is airing. Okay, well, to the main topic at hand, the bar for Black excellence, which let me say this because today's example of Black excellence, I was telling Tempe, I was talking to another friend of mine, and I told her that today's person we're focusing on is Beyonce. And she was like, well, that bar is too high. Like, what are you talking about the bar? Like, the bar is supposed to be, this is what is attainable. And I was like, damn, you're right.
What is it?
Well, nonetheless. What'd you
Because
say?
I said, what
Oh.
is it? Because
Right.
if the
We're
bar,
not talking about us.
right, we're talking
You're
about
talking about,
Beyonce.
well, not even the bar for us as people. We're talking about the bar for artists. We're talking about the rest of
Right?
y'all.
We're talking about what you all refuse to acknowledge is the greatest thing that you've seen.
Literally.
So we're not talking about us. We're not talking about regular Joe Schmoes down here on the regular life, driving to the grocery store, meal prepping for the week, going to our little 9 to 5s. We're talking about the artistry of Beyoncé. The talent is, yeah.
Artistry is a perfect word. Artistry is a perfect word. And this topic came up because if you've been living in a cave, you wouldn't know this, but she won a Grammy for Best Country Album and I think Album of the Year. was it?
Yes, that
Song of
was
the
her
Year.
album of
Oh.
the year, and she won a song Grammy with Miley. I don't know if it was duet song of the year or something, but they didn't
Won
air.
that one? Oh, girl, I love that
Yeah.
fucking song with her and Miley. I literally play that song 10 times on repeat. I don't know what it is about that song. I love that fucking song. I'm
It's
just imagining myself.
very soulful.
Like, I love that fucking song. Oh, I miss that. Okay, so three Grammys. Three?
She won three, I believe, this year.
I was living in a rock too. I thought it was two.
Yeah, I think it might have been four, and I can't remember the other one, but it was definitely three.
Nonetheless,
And
whether however many, she should have won them all, but the point is the
it
people were
took
complaining.
her, as she said in her speech, 25 years. She's been waiting for this because Beyonce has been breaking records. I mean, can we just talk about Destiny's Child? Destiny's Child is the greatest girl group of all time.
I agree with that.
And she was breaking records then. Her debut album that they predicted was going to flop is probably one of the best debut albums. And she is just a consistently awarded artist every single time. And she was up for four nominations for Album of the Year before she finally was given this year's Album of the Year. She was up for it for I Am Sasha Fierce, Lemonade, Renaissance,
That.
and she should have won for all of them. I Am Sasha Fierce had white people in a chokehold because she had Justin Timberlake and that other white man doing motherfucking Get Me Bodied. And y'all didn't want to give her Album of the Year off the strength of that. Off the strength of that.
My whole thing is people were complaining about this specific album because they're like, oh, either the whites, oh, the white country people, oh, it's not country, or the black people, I don't like this. I wanted something like Renaissance. Like, she's done so much. She's having fun with the shit. She's exploring her artistry, as you said earlier. She is putting out music that is meaningful. And let's not forget, everything she does has an intent. Like, the fact she has Linda Martell vocals on this album, like, this woman was an icon in country music as a black woman decades ago, like the 60s, I believe, and didn't get her dues because of the way the, political landscape was at the time. So the fact that she brought her back, the fact that she had these other black young country artists, women artists on her album singing with her, they thereby then won a Grammy. The fact she had fucking Shaboozey, I had never even heard of him. Now he's, at this country awards, and they blackballed him, but it's giving fuck you, whatever. Apparently his Tipsy song was like literally country song of the year, like it was being played everywhere. So it's like she gives these people recognition, present, past, and damn near future. I'm gonna say with her kids, and it's like y'all can't on top of the vocals, on top of Body Is T, on top of being beautiful. Like it's like. What more do you want from her?
What
What more do you want?
more do you want from
What more do
her?
you fucking want?
And I just want to say, first of all, I misspoke. It wasn't Get Me Bodied. It was Single Ladies. She did not
Oh,
have Justin Timberlake popping it to Get Me Bodied. She had him doing Single Ladies. But that is why this topic is so important, because she is the bar, yet they keep trying to change the bar for her, which is a representation of exactly why, as Black women, Black people in general, we're watching one of the greatest artists of all time be consistently denied
yeah.
her recognition just because it makes you all uncomfortable. She did so much research, as you said, in order to teach people through her music, which is true artistry. That is what we are taught from young people up until we become people that can really appreciate deeply thought about artwork, whether it's literal sculptures and paintings, poetry, and of course, music. We are being taught perspectives, history through someone's voice and through someone's visuals, even in the visuals that she creates. And you all want to deny it because it makes you uncomfortable. That's all it is you're uncomfortable with Black excellence.
And I just keep like, I can't, ever since we talked about having this as a topic, I couldn't get out of my head. When you're Black, you have to work twice as hard to get half as far. And I wouldn't even say the half as far. Like, I feel like she's getting her flowers, but the half as far when it comes to her is the comparison of her to other people, even close between her. And that's what really grinds my gears.
If I have to see one more goddamn statistic, data, metric of comparison, my queen to y'all's Taylor Swift, I promise you it will be my 13th reason. I will make a show of it as well because no one is taking away Taylor Swift's accolades. She is a phenomenal writer.
And we can say that because we're not delusional. We can give her credit where it's due. But they, Taylor Swift, Swifties, they can't do that. They can't
No.
say, "Yeah, I like Taylor's songs, and I like her little outfits and her blonde hair."
Yeah, they
But
can't.
Beyoncé has a laundry list of other things that Taylor doesn't. Like, why can't y'all admit that?
Exactly. And I think it's because they see themselves in Taylor. And to them, if they admit that something that does not look like them, does not ever be something they could attain, is better than what they see in themselves, it will uproot everything that they know about their whiteness. And so that's what it really comes down to. And that's what we know. And that's what Beyonce knows. And that's why the moment that she was denied for her Daddy Lessons performance and for its need to be awarded, she said, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to just be denied. I will go and work harder and I will dive into this quote genre quote, and I will prove to you all that not only am I capable, but I will far excel all of the standards that you believe is of this. And I will bring it back to show you that this was actually ours. You can try to shut the door, but I'm going to kick it the fuck down, and I'm gonna show you who's the fuck's this been the whole fucking time, because I am the excellence. I'm the bar for it all.
I
I can
am,
do it all.
bitch. I am the bar, alien superstar.
Talk about it. Talk
Hey.
about it.
Also, can we also just discuss too how this woman put on the best concert I've ever seen in my entire life? Went around the fucking world, put on different outfits every night, came out like it was her first time in every city. And still somehow has prepared for another fucking concert?
Prepared for a concert, Nisha. She wrote and she recorded Cowboy Carter. And she released it to us within months of us attending the concert. She
Like, what are we,
has.
who's doing this? No one else is doing this. Like, what are we fucking talking about here? Like, why, that shouldn't even be an argument. Like, I can't even.
The bar, she is the bar for not just excellence, she is the bar for work ethic. She is the bar for passion. She shows us that if you deeply care, if you are deeply passionate about your work, your loves, your interests, you will put the time and effort into it to make the best thing that anyone has ever seen. Because that's what she shows us time and time again. The work that she puts in only produces timelessness and excellence. And I just want to take us back to Renaissance because I am still very, like, okay, y'all don't want to give it to her for Lemonade because y'all don't understand Lemonade because y'all too white. Whatever.
Lemonade was outstanding as well, though.
Outstanding, 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 outstanding. Adele literally knew she shouldn't have gotten that award and made her speech about Beyonce. That's just it, you know?
Okay, that's how you know, and that's why I fuck with Adele, because she's not a fucking hater.
And everyone in the room every single year is literally treating the Grammys as a meet and greet for Beyonce. Does that not tell y'all nothing? Your faves that you're caping for, fucking Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, Sabrina Carpenter, all these young white women who, not just Sabrina Carpenter, also Kacey Musgraves, who we also love, all these women who have are Grammy Award winning artists, literally all of them that I just need are Grammy Award winning. Also, all of them, I mean, three out of four of them have won Album of the Year over Beyonce. Time and time again, Kacey Musgraves won it once. Billie Eilish won it once. Taylor Swift has won it multiple times at this point. They all look at Beyonce in awe and are excited and deferential about meeting this woman. Do you all not have any understanding of like how they're modeling for you all as fan bases to really recognize who the GOAT is? Like, open
No.
your eyes.
You know, the fan base, and that's a bigger topic that we don't have time for today, but there's a certain level of delusion, again, where you cannot realize that, yes, this is my fave, but this person also is really good at X. And this isn't my fave. This person's my fave. This person's really good at Y. Like, if you can't, if you are literally like, you know, I'm a, the top crazies, Swifties, the Barbs, and low key the Beehive, but I mean, theirs is valid. Also the lambs, that's Mariah Carey's. I think that's so funny. They're not that bad, but it's like y'all, it's just delulu, it's delusion, it's delusion. And I feel like also, let's not forget these women who got Grammys. I'm gonna argue that it was specifically based off of the, I actually don't know what they vote on for the Grammys. You know, you and I feel like we are very well, you know, qualified to have this conversation because we listen to a wide variety of music, and we can say like, okay, I like the beat on that. I don't. This is another language. I don't even know what they're saying, but I fuck with it. Or, you know, the writing to this is very, you know, deep and thought provoking. So I get that when it comes to just like off the strength of just the album. But again, that's why the bar for Beyonce is so high, is because it's like there's an album, it's the album, and then there's like a whole world of things around the album that bring it even more to life, that make it even more like, you know, I don't know, like visceral. Like, oh my God, look at this visual, look at this, you know, the fucking merch, look at this fucking, you know, like it all adds up into big culmination of like Beyonce, and nobody else is fucking doing that.
No, none of
Nobody
them are
else is
doing
doing
it.
that. Like, you're putting out your album, you're having your little tour, which is half the time mediocre at best. Because let's not forget, remember we saw Ariana Grande for your birthday in DC? That stage, I could barely see.
We
I could
could
barely.
not see the stage. We also could peep that much of what her choreography was modeled after was Beyonce, as is most people. I would agree. I couldn't agree more. And I think that's what's so important about us living through the time of Beyonce, is us being able to literally see how she not only represents excellence in, like I said, artistry, work ethic, and passion, but she represents excellence in blackness and being a black woman, because she models for us how we not letting none of these people deny us from expressing our true passions and forms. Like, I'm gonna keep doing it regardless of how it's received. She does not care. She does not care about what none of the haters say. The rumors that have been swirling around baby girl for decades about all kinds of things, she does not feed into it. She puts the music at the top because that is what matters to her. It is her
For
true
itself.
love.
The music speaks for itself. Absolutely. I totally agree. And honestly, to me, let's also talk about the days of, we're 90s kids, okay? Back in the day, but yeah, these singers and stars, they were enigmas. We didn't know no real. Now we know too much. We watching y'all fight. We seeing how petty y'all are. We seeing how, messy, ratchet y'all are. I personally like that Beyonce keeps her private life private. And people are like, oh, well, she don't talk to her. She don't talk to us. And she's a robot. And da, 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 like, she's doing her job. She's working. Like, she don't have to show you anything she don't want to show you. And what she is showing you is carefully selected and curated because, again, all of these do Beyonce, the brand. And if you don't like that, then go fucking be a fan of Chappell Roan.
Right. And to that point, let's be real. Don't you respect it more when someone behaves this way because she is actually modeling what you should do as a normal private citizen? Your neighbors don't know your business. Your colleagues should not, well, they should not know your business. I know some of y'all out there be acting like y'all done forgot how to hold things near and dear to you. Y'all be telling y'all business too much, but you need to get back to that. Maybe you should study her a bit more and see. Everybody does not need to know about you when her sole purpose is to give y'all these motherfucking musics. That's what she's here for. She's here to give you the looks. She's here to give you the dancing. She's here to give you the vocals. She's here to give you the albums. And once again, to
Product.
yes, and to highlight what she said in her documentary about Lemonade, y'all don't make albums no more. But Beyonce is still motherfucking making albums. You know why? Because she is committed to the craft. Maybe if you recognize that's what she's only here to provide you for, you would shut the fuck up. She don't owe you shit.
She don't, black women don't owe you shit.
And there it is. Thank you so much for Beyonce for showing that to people because they always want us to show, they want us to give too much.
Yeah, they do.
You can't have it all.
When they said, when I heard that thing, that somebody's talking about, she's a robot and she don't do this. I guess they were using Rihanna as a comparison. I'm like, Rihanna don't be talking to y'all either. Like, she might put a little Instagram or a little reel, her like being silly and cute, but Beyonce don't have to do that. That's not her brand. Like, that's, y'all don't know about what a brand is. That's the problem.
Exactly. They have two different brands, but they are cut from the same cloth. We did not know about Rihanna's anything until Rihanna wanted us to know. And that's how Beyonce moves too. Everybody does not have a camera crew following them and documenting every moment of their life like these other celebrities. And quite frankly, I would love for you to point to me the black woman who is in billionaire status that does. Because I don't know if Beyonce is technically still a billionaire, but I know Rihanna is. And these people of that status, they don't do, Oprah don't do that. Y'all don't expect it of Oprah. But
No, they absolutely don't grow up. Or Oprah, yeah. I feel like, again, there's so many things that she does and she does well. And as we said, it's all about the artistry, it's all about her craft. And nobody is touching what she's doing right now. They're just not. You cannot tell me anybody.
yeah.
Like, literally, the only reason Taylor Swift is even in the same sentence of her when they talk about Taylor Swift and Beyonce is because Taylor Swift is rich as fuck because of all these little teeny boppers that are, damn near about to kill their mom and dad to get tickets to go to the show, and her show is sold out. That's
Yep.
it.
Y'all work overtime to stream her music. And also, you all are majority of not just our country, but the world, white people dominate. So, of course, if you're streaming this one white woman, it's going to be more than the black women and men that are streaming Beyonce. And a popularity contest does not show the true artistry status of someone, quite frankly. And let's be real, y'all stream Beyonce too. You just don't stream her the same amount that you stream Taylor.
Girl, I didn't even get to talk to you about this. So apparently, Shakira, I don't know if you've seen, have you seen her set?
Yes, I did, bitch.
Why they in the comments talking about Shakira was here for like her fans are even nastier than the Swifties, girl. They're coming, they're being racist because it's the Latinos now. They're being racist. They're talking about, oh, why she's trying to be like Shakira. That's why her hair is blonde and this, that, and the third. And Shakira's been around since the 90s. And they're like, if you look at the, it's a very clear, this is a copy. This is a copy and paste, point blank, period. Like, what are y'all, like, again, this is what I mean with like the fan base and the delusion. Like, you can say Shakira was here first, but she did copy Beyonce's set. Like, what are we talking about here? It's,
Right.
are you
And
blind?
Shakira is not blonde.
Shakira's
Like,
gonna die too.
yeah, it's they are crazy. And that's exactly like why Beyonce is the standard, because she constantly rises above all of this. She does not feed into it. She knows she's your fave's fave.
Yeah,
Period.
she is. I feel like what we have derived from this conversation, is that when it comes to the bar for Black excellence, Beyonce is surpassing it, and then, and your faves wish they could even get close to where she is, and that's just that on that.
I couldn't agree
I
more.
feel that the most excellent Blacks.
Absolutely. And I think that she is the greatest living performer, and she is the second greatest performer of all time, because I will not take that away from Michael Jackson. I also think, to stamp what you're saying, when we say that she is surpassing excellence, we mean that she constantly sets new standards. She pushes herself over and over again to be better and to be more complex and nuanced, and teaches us about not just our own history and culture, but she teaches us how we can strive to be our most passionate and high performing selves. So, with that being said, we clearly love Beyonce. And so, if you don't, you can truly suck.
Well, and I also say again, I don't think we're being biased because we do have a wide interest in a lot of different types of music. And I think we are very, very well qualified to have this conversation, more so than a lot of people, I would argue, who are very much just like they only listen to R&B or they only listen to rap. Unfortunately, that is a lot of, which I don't know what, I'm sure there's history behind that too. But, a lot of Black people, I think they skew those two in rock. A lot of Black people like rock too, surprisingly. But we do listen to like a little country, a little Latin, a little reggae, a little reggaeton. Like, so I feel like we can say this like across the board. Like it is what it is. So.
Yeah, and I like all the artists that were nominated against Beyonce this year. I've listened to, if not all, the majority. I am a huge Sabrina Carpenter fan, as are you. We love Kacey Musgroves. We went to Kacey Musgroves' Deeper Well concert. So stamp that. Okay, I'll
Period.
pick you
Argue with
up.
your mama.
Argue with your mama.
That's that on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last topic we so this we have to come up with a catchy name for it, but so it's our question of the week. But yeah, so this segment of question of the week is coming from me. And my question is, and it's coming because I'm planning like a little birthday party for my niece. So, how many adults should be at a party where there are five children? And I ask this because there are going to be five children, including the birthday girl. And as of today, I'm counting 12 adults. And I said, huh. Now, this is not what I anticipated because one, y'all getting pizza, ice cream. Juice.
Cake.
That is because this is for the kids. Two, I'm having this at my house on purpose because I did not want to pay for a big party. And three, adults love to complain. So don't be coming to my house talking about what I don't have when you weren't invited. Your child was invited. And I told people that, we're having this party and they then invited themselves. So how many people should be at this party if you have five children coming? And let me say one of the kids' parents are not coming at all. They're just dropping her off to pick her up, which is fine. I was fine with that. So now we have four children and there's 12 adults, including me. The math ain't mathin'.
I agree. I think, especially the age that you are celebrating, I think that there is the ability to drop the kid off, unless it was like a different type of party, like if it was a party where you needed the parent supervision to support them having fun. But I think this is going to be very upsetting to many. But I do not think that you need, as an adult, to be invited to every child's birthday party of a child that you care about. I think it's okay to not invite adults that do not have children that are not invited to the party. So if your child is not a guest at the party, I do not think your presence is necessary. I think there are other ways to celebrate a child's birthday. If you are a close adult to that child, like a family member, like you're a grandparent, grandparents don't even need to be at every child birthday party. I think that they can come and sing happy birthday. They can send a gift. Because I personally think, as we know, the memories are not about that. There's other ways to cultivate memories for children. And I think that it gets too costly. And then the party becomes about the adults, as you said. Adults being so opinionated about things that are set up for children is
Yes.
taking away from the point of the party. Why do I
Literally.
need to feed
Literally.
adult food at a child's party?
Literally. Girl, again, I feel like if you are invited, sure. If you're not invited, you shouldn't feel type of way. And also, your point, it makes something that could have been small into like this affair, which again, hopefully, there's no more than 12 people coming tomorrow. But now I'm over here like, do I need to buy another pizza? Do I need to buy some a side salad? The adult, like a fruit salad? I don't fucking know. Like, that was not what I was trying to do. I was trying to
Right.
put this under 100 and honestly, $150. Which, speaking of, Chuck E. Cheese is so affordable. I paid $150 last year for, I think, eight kids. And they got cups, party favors, tokens to play with, and same with Chucky. All I had to do was bring like the cake. Oh, and pizza.
Wow.
So just FYI, in case you ever do want to do that in the future. But yeah, my budget this year, I was not trying to do too much, and I don't know what's happened.
I definitely empathize because this is something I had talked about with a friend as well about how it's just become, as with everything, such influence from social media about what is the standard for parties. And like, people have begun to believe that every year needs to be this big party, where you have all of these people come and you make it this event. And I just don't think when they're that young, it matters. I think there are milestone birthdays that you do want to celebrate and you want to do something special. But I personally think that if you invest that much money and time into a child's birthday party and the child is not going to remember it, and also, like, you're not some celebrity, I question so many things about the motives behind it. It gives just like you want to show off in ways that I personally think are performative and superficial. And so I think if the kid is older, of course, and they can ask for things, that's different. Like they're asking for a specific type of way and they also can remember it and it's like super significant to them, then yeah, you do want to do what you want to do, especially if they're asking for certain adults to be there. That does
Yeah,
matter, right? But
great
like
point.
when we're talking about, I would say six and under, I think people do too much. I
Yeah.
personally think people do too much. I think people spend too much.
And again, as children of the 90s, when did this all start? Because I don't know about you. Did you ever have a birthday party at McDonald's?
I don't know. That's a good
That was a
question.
huge thing, I guess, in Atlanta. Like, I know at least six or seven of my friends, my cousins, me, we had birthday parties at McDonald's
It
in the
makes
play place.
sense.
The play
Yes.
place, they used to have like party hats. I had pictures of like cake, like, and we had the best time. And I really highly doubt our parents paid more than $50, and it's probably just to use the play place.
Yep.
When the fuck
Yeah.
did all that start happening?
Girl, yes. And there just was so many more places to have parties, not just McDonald's. There were more pizza places that were local. And then also like Pizza Hut was like a big thing too when it was still a restaurant. And
Yes.
then, as you said, Chuck E. Cheese, there were other event spaces. And of course, like brick and mortar is just becoming slowly no more. So that's a part of it. But I also think even these event spaces that cater to parties, they're trying to act like similar to like wedding vendors and that they know that parents are going to pay for their kids' experience. And so they are charging a certain amount of money, knowing that like they're some of the few places where you can actually host a child's party, like these gym spaces. Like I've been to two children's birthday parties at a franchise called My Gym. So
Let's talk about
expensive. And then also I've been to one where there was like a family-owned gym, also expensive. And so then you have to limit the number of people that are coming, and then people's feelings get hurt. But then it's also like the feelings don't have to get hurt if you also are not choosing to have that kind of party. So that's one piece, is like if it's about you wanting to have people at the party, then have a more low-key party because your baby is a baby. Or if it's about having it at that place, you don't care about nobody's feelings, then okay, then spend that money, I guess. But it don't make sense to me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So I guess for me, ideally, there would have been two adults there at the party, me and my mom. And we would chaperone around these kids. They can't get in too much. They're literally in a one-bedroom condo. It's all little girls, five little girls. But yeah, so that's gonna be our day. Well,
Microphone, yes. Agreed. I even when I think about what we've talked about in the past about like the milestone birthdays, like even the milestone birthdays, at a certain point you have to be smart. Like, is this about the kid or is this about the adults? If it's
Right.
like if I'm throwing a party for adults, then that's a whole different party than the kid party.
Yes, absolutely.
The food's
Completely different.
different. You have to have alcohol. You have to have different hours. Like, you have to have a different type of venue. Like,
Girl.
it's just people's expectations of being a part of certain things sometimes has to shift.
Yeah. I would agree because it's not about you, it's about the kids and their memories and their fun. So, well, thanks for answering my question.
You're very welcome. I really liked your question because I think it's timely, especially considering we're in the age of like seeing people have parties for gender reveals. And so there's always a party for everything. And I personally think when the parties become super costly, it starts to not make sense for anymore. Like you can have a kickback if you really like to entertain, but kickbacks don't have to be some like whole to do.
Right. I totally agree with you on that. For sure. Well, I think we can wrap up here. I feel like we talked about a lot of really great things. I love this episode.
Yes, and I also love our new structure, and I hope everyone that's listening does as well. And if you have any suggestions for anything that we should talk about, anything that we should shift about our structure, anything that you want to ask us, please, please, please share. We would really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, we will see you guys for episode 4.
Woo! Bye.